Blog Talk Radio.
Women have the power to transform this world. We can end crime and violence if we all agree to do one thing: share. Let's share our wisdom, share our time, share our talents, share our finances, but most of all, let's share our love. This is the Female Solution. Join me, Naima Latif, every morning, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Standard Time, as we bring you stimulating discussions about the issues affecting our lives. If you're listening online at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution, press the blue button that says follow and get our daily topics every morning directly to your email and your smartphone.
Hi, I'm Naima Latif, executive producer of the Female Solution Radio Show. We invite you to call in 515-605-9325 and participate in this daily think tank as we examine the challenges we face and develop solutions that restore peace and harmony. We are global transformers, changing the world from the way it is to the way it should be. We are one. Wherever we live on this earth, we are one human family. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to extend a greeting to all the members of our family, whenever and wherever you may be listening around the world. To our family in China, Ni Hao. In India, Namaste. In Japan, Konnichiwa. In Korea, Annyeonghaseyo. In Russia, Zdravstvuyte. In Germany, Guten Tag. In Poland, Dzień dobry. In France, Bonjour. In Spain, Hola. In Italy, Ciao. In Egypt, Ahlan wa sahlan. In Ghana, Akwaba. In Nigeria, Peleo. In South Africa, Saubona. In Senegal, Nangadef. In Kenya, Jambo. In Israel, Shalom. In Pakistan, Afghanistan, and Saudi Arabia, Assalamu alaikum. Greetings, and may peace be upon you all.
Grand Rising, welcome to Health and Wellbeing with Beata. It's a beautiful morning, kind of cloudy in Florida, and I'm in my small house. I don't like to say tiny house anymore because I've doubled my space, living space, from 160 square. Then I was in a huge ashram mansion for a year and a half, and then I came back to reason, 320 square feet. Now today I'm going to put in, have insulation installed up here, so you won't be seeing any too much wood in this place after a while, except for the beams. But I'm very grateful to be sharing my journey with you about minimalism, downsizing, and especially health and well-being. So today I have a very special guest. Leslie Hurd is considered to be a doula godmother. Godmother, I think that's what she calls herself. So, and she wrote a book called Soul Babies, The Spiritual Side of Abortions and Miscarriages. So we're going to hear a lot from Leslie about maternal health, whether it's abortions and miscarriages or birthing, as helping, supporting women as doulas. That's our show today, Maternal Health Week. I had no idea it was Maternal Health Week until midweek, like Wednesday. So I want to focus on that today because it is an important important part of our society that needs healing. And that's what we do every Friday morning, is do joint rolling, promoting healing. All of us coming together, rolling these joints, is really producing a lot of healing energy for the world, for the planet. Because this energy that we practice and utilize today really does spread all over the planet when we come together as a collective body of human beings. So thank you for joining me this morning for our joint rolling and our collective healing energy. And as always, I play this music by The Sounds of Blackness called Time for Healing. And it really is a time for healing. Still, every day is time for healing. So So many people are hurting, suffering, wounded, overcoming childhood traumas. And so every day we put out on health and well-being the energy, the love, the compassion, and especially the wisdom to help people heal. So join me now for some joint rolling. I'm already down on the floor, and then I'll have to move everything back up to my studio. But I'm on the floor ready to get on my back and do some joint rolling. But let's start with some neck rolls because, as I mentioned every Wednesday on my yoga show, Serena and Venus Williams started their workout with neck rolls. I was like, whoa, we're in the right company. So let us do some neck rolling before we get on our back. Let's just bring our chin to our chest and just roll that neck around slowly, 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 stretching. What we're doing is stretching the muscles so that whatever we do today in twisting and turning our heads, moving our body, the muscles are ready. They're flexed. They're ready. They're not stiff. You won't be feeling any pain later in your neck if you start with some flex, rolling, stretching activity in the neck area. And let's just reverse that and go the other direction. And stretching those muscles as much as we can. That's what our joint rolling is all about, is stretching our joints and activating synovial fluid so that we stay lubricated all day. You know, driving a car around, it needs oil, right? If that car runs out of oil, guess what? It stops running. It starts smoking and clanging and clinking. So our bodies are similar. We need oil in our bodies, and we generate that oil by rolling the joints and starting with our neck. Woo, that feels good. Let's just do our shoulders while we're up. Roll those shoulders back. If you're at a desk already, just push back from your desk and just roll those shoulders back and then stop and roll those shoulders forward. And you're activating not just your synovial fluid, but you're actually getting your lymphatic system pumping. When you roll, when you move your body in any way, shape, or form, your lymphatic system is like a river, and it's going to start moving for you as well. So let's get that lymphatic system and, of course, your blood circulation. Blood is circulating now more than ever as we move this body. All right, let's pause here. Let's put some music on, and let's get on the floor, if you're not already there, on our backs. It is time for healing by the sounds of blackness. And we get on our backs, kick our legs and our arms up, roll our wrist and ankle first in both directions. Then we do our elbows and our knees. Then we roll over on our side and roll those legs around so we get our hip joints lubricated on both sides. So let's do it together. Let's create some collective healing love.
Everywhere you turn, there's suffering and pain. foolish pride. But pain is a sickness that is hard to cover, and it's the reason we mistreat each other, yeah.
Rubbing around the ears and the neck area, patting on the thymus gland and our chest area, under the arm. We're giving our lymphatic system a good stimulation, motivation, massage, all down the arms, under the breath, so important, around the breath. Giving a massage. This is why massage can be very beneficial to prevent disease, because keep that lymphatic system. And just pat down on the thighs. Woohoo! How is that feeling? Take a minute to assess how is that feeling for you. We're going to go back into my studio now. Now that I've been on the floor, time to go. You get a look, get a good look at my ceiling that will be disappearing today because insulation's going in. I've been blessed with funds to do my insulation. And we're back in the studio with Daddy. That's my dad. That's the cover of his book, Sherman J. Howard, Football and Beyond. So I'm glad to have him with me every week, every day in spirit and in truth. The legend and legacy of an African-American NFL pioneer. He is my wisdom. 95 years this man lived on the planet till 2019. And he left lots of wisdom and knowledge and experience. And I wrote it all in his book. So you can go to ShermanJHoward.com to get a copy of that book that's full of wisdom about being an athlete in both high school, college, and the NFL. Beautiful, beautiful story that I was privileged to write with my dad about his journey for 95 years. And here we are. This chart behind me is actually your biology, German New Medicine chart about the significant biological program that we all run when we have traumas in our life. And that's how people get tumors in their brain, because this chart diagrams fully. That's why it's a huge wall chart. The significant biological program that we all run when we have a trauma. And I studied that, and I'm still studying it. It's a lifetime of studying, of journeying, and listening to people's traumas and stories and understanding why they have disease. This charts it all out, the phases that a person goes through when they have a trauma and how they can heal from that trauma, most importantly. So today, my guest is Leslie Hurd, and she is a doula, God doula, godmother, I think she calls herself. She's an experienced counselor, and she's here today to talk about Maternal Health Week. It's actually called Black Maternal Health Week, and I may have to give her a call to get her to find out when she's going to be on. Leslie. So in the meantime, we are privileged to have in the Orlando area. In the Orlando area, we have a woman by the name of Jenny Joseph. Jenny Joseph is a midwife. She's been a midwife for over 30 years. And I've trained under her to become a doula. And she's just an incredible woman. In fact, she was recently voted among the Women of the Year in Life magazine. If you have a copy of Life magazine, I think it's Life magazine, she was voted among several Women of the Year because of the work that this woman has done in the area of maternal health. So while we're waiting for my guest to come in, and if she's in the studio, I don't think she's in the studio, we're going to listen to Jenny Joseph explain the importance of Maternal Health Week and why she has such a passion. This is about Jenny Joseph on the awareness. Jenny Joseph, who I said is a midwife, a very popular midwife. She was voted woman in the Women of the Year this year for her work she's done in maternal health. And this is part of her testimony about why there needs to be awareness in this area. Let me see which one. Area of maternal health. So welcome, Jenny Joseph. The voice of
this
Jenny
week, an important conversation was sparked about maternal and infant mortality.
There are urgent challenges facing Black women before, during, and after pregnancy. In fact, in the U.S., the risk of
Pregnancy-related deaths for black women is 3 to 4 times higher than for white women, according to the CDC. And one woman has spent over 40 years of her career to get results for women and babies and to change those mortality rates. Joining us today, Jenny Joseph, Orlando midwife and executive director of the nonprofit corporation Common Sense Childbirth Incorporated. And Jenny, thank you for being with us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
We are so honored to have you. And we have about 4 minutes to talk about an issue that's been ongoing for so long now, but Black Maternal Health Week just wrapped up this week, and that's to try to help create more awareness about this issue. Why is it that black women are having more complications and dying more often due to pregnancy-related problems?
Well, we're not really exactly sure, but we know this is not a new problem. Black Maternal Health Week has just finished, like you said. It's only the second time that's happened, but it's really helpful to just bring the awareness up so people understand there is something going on and we need to stop it. This is not a developing nation. In the most, a wealthy nation in the world, we should not be having rising rates of mothers and babies dying. Black women die disproportionately, and that's the problem. Mm-hmm. 3 to 4 times as many black women are dying as their white counterparts having babies in the United States. So we don't want to say that it's because they've done something wrong. This is the part that's really important to stress. Mm-hmm. Being black in and of itself is not a risk factor. Mm-hmm. There are other forces that are in play, and we realize that certainly certain ways that we provide prenatal care, postpartum care, labor and delivery care, those are the ways that impact black women in the fact that we have maybe a little bit more of a bias towards judging them, treating them differently. We do think that that's part of the problem because, after all, physiologically, there's nothing different. Mm-hmm. So why is this number persisting and why are the women being lost? So keep in mind, we don't want to put the blame on the women. Mm-hmm. We do know that the system probably needs some tweaks, I think, for all women. Mm-hmm. We do too many interventions. We are rushing women to surgery more frequently than any other nation. We have a way of tossing women out of the hospital. They're back at work. They haven't got maternity leave. They haven't got the support systems that they need. And they are readmitted into hospital with infections, their hemorrhages. Mm-hmm. These things are difficult to understand given this is a developed country.
Mm-hmm. And you mentioned interventions. I know the way we approach maternal health care in this country is different from some other countries, where a lot of other countries, it is midwives who primarily do the delivery. And we tend to treat it more as a medical issue. And, you induce, and then that leads to a C-section. Talk to us about how we can work to kind of solve that.
Yes. Yeah, so I am a midwife. I started my training in England. I was born and raised in England. And the rest of the entire world uses midwives as the primary care provider for pregnant women. Mm-hmm. So when you medicalize birth, you turn it into the specialty, which there are times when there are high-risk pregnancies, obviously, and you need the obstetrician, you need the high-level provider. But birth is normal. And left alone, when a woman is encouraged, supported, educated, respected, birth goes normally. Right? I always talk about if there was a hurricane, for example, you go into labor, what's going to happen? You just have the baby. The baby comes out. Your body knows how to do it. We're empowered with the way of managing that. And over centuries, women have supported each other. So midwifery makes sense. A midwife takes care of normal, and she supports normal physiological birth. So when we do it backwards, when we medicalize, when we intervene, when we interfere, or worse yet, when we provide service where we are not in relationship with the women, where we're not giving them respect, we're not listening, that's lethal.
What can we as women do? I know there's been a more highlight to, mothers watching out and being their own advocates. Yes. Serena Williams had a health care with her child. We're also hearing Meghan Markle may deliver at home rather than in a hospital. We're not sure, but this highlights, the celebrities are highlighting more awareness and advocacy, too.
They are, and it's interesting because the black celebrities that have had problems have the same situation that black women of all socioeconomic status have. And so there is an element of not being listened to because of your color. And that has to be said out loud. That has an impact on your health. So I bought my two baby hats just as an example. Yeah. Premature baby hat, full-term baby hat. Okay. Which baby hat would you prefer? Oh. Think about it. Our neonatal units are full of premature babies that are mm-hmm. black and brown.
Mm-hmm.
Again, another disparity. Okay, so what women need to do is to, first of all, be very upfront about your needs. Make sure you ask your questions and get them answered. Choose your providers wisely. Go with people who will listen to you, who will hear you. We want to make sure that every woman has an opportunity for that full-term healthy baby, that she's empowered in her birth experience, that she comes out the other end not depressed. Postpartum depression is a big problem across this country. It's our sort of dirty little secret.
Yeah.
We don't talk about it.
Mm-hmm.
But women are suffering, and we need to change the way we provide prenatal and postpartum care for women in the United States.
You mentioned being empowered during the process. Even if you want to have a hospital birth with an epidural and all that, a doula is a great way to do
Absolutely,
that.
Absolutely, Julie. The doulas, the midwives, you know, this is old school stuff, but it works.
I had a doula. It was great.
Yeah. And that's the difference,
mm-hmm.
right?
Yeah.
Supporting a mom so that her birth plan is respected, so
mm-hmm.
that her needs are heard, so that she feels that she has some control and agency around what's happening. Women are scared. They're going like sheep to the slaughter. They don't know the questions to ask. They don't know what to expect. They're left hanging. We have so many gaps. So doulas provide that support continually throughout your experience. Midwives the same way. You can choose to have your baby at home in a birth center or a hospital if you're low risk. People don't know.
Where can we get some
share.
More? Where can we get some more? We love connecting with you, Jenny, and I'm
Absolutely.
Sure other moms want more. How can we reach you to get more about Common Sense Childbirth and some of those resources?
Literally, commonsensechildbirth.org. That's our website. Start there.
Thank
we have a lot of information there.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
That was Jenny Joseph, who has been nominated as one of several Women of the Year because of the great work she's doing in the Orlando area. I'm privileged to be in this area, and I've trained under her. She's an amazing soul born and raised in England, but she now works in the United States. And she was just shocked at the statistics around Black women in the United States having maternal death. And so today we're honoring this week. It's called, I think it's Black Maternal Health Week. And there's an organization called Black Mamas Matter Alliance, if you're not familiar with them, that you can look up on Facebook and on YouTube. They have YouTube videos. And so my guest today will be Leslie Hurd, who is also a doula, but she's a doula of expanded knowledge and wisdom, not just about supporting women in their pregnancy, but also supporting women who choose to have abortions or who have experienced miscarriages. So Leslie will be on later in the show. And I want us to think about something. I was listening to a Blog Talk show last week. There were two men talking, and one of the men was kind of upset that public funds were being used to create centers for Black women, maternity centers for Black women, something to that effect. I think it was in St. Louis or Louisiana, I forget. But this man was upset because he believed it was racist for them to be using public funds just for Black women's health matters. And as you heard from Jenny, the statistics for women of color, and I don't think it's just Black women, but it's also Native American women, and probably Hispanic women are in that group. I didn't look up all the stats, but we have a statistic out there that has been verified and confirmed that women of color, and particularly Black women, are dying at 10 times the rate of white women in maternity. So this has caused a lot of organizations, several organizations, I would say, namely one called Black Mamas Matter Alliance, to seek funding to solve this problem. What's the solution? I was telling these guys on this show, there's not just one solution for this problem. I think there's more than one solution. But the fact that this brother, and this is a brother, an African-American man, upset about using public funds to only create centers or healing places for women, black women. When the statistics I told him pretty much justify maybe funding, but he still insisted that that's racist if you're pointing just to one group of women to help in this matter, and it shouldn't just be public. Public funds should not be used for abortion. Public funds should not be used for any kind of center for maternal health. And I just couldn't get this guy to understand, or I couldn't help him see the need that we have for centers like that. So I want to know what you think out there. You in the Facebook land as well as Blog Talk Radio studio, what do you think about that? Should public money be used to create facilities and programs to help black women in particular? Or should there be funds created to help all women in maternity issues? Given what Jenny Joseph just spoke about, that the statistics for black women are 10 times worse, 3 to 4 times worse, all the statistics are high for women, black women, to die in childbirth or in maternity. So what do you think out there? Should public funds be used to create solutions and facilities and resources for black women of and women of color, or should they just be used in general? Should they be designated just for women in general for maternal health? I'd like to get your response to this issue, because the brother was just insisting this is against the law, it's racist, blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, well, that's only one solution. I think another solution that I think you can think about as we go to the break, each one of us can become a doula. And we're going to hear what exactly doulas do that can make a difference in this statistic that black women are dying in maternity and pregnancy greater numbers than women of other races. And I think part of the solution is each one of us taking on a doula mentality. And that doesn't mean investing money in a college degree or certificate. It just means studying. And you can do that online. You can do that on YouTube, university. If each one of us were to take the time to increase our knowledge about how we can support women, especially if you're in a black community, you have a duty to have knowledge, I believe, about how we can support women in their journey, 9-month journey in pregnancy and beyond. And as Jenny said, prenatal education is important as well as postpartum. So that's my suggestion I'm throwing out there. What do you think about that? That each one of us take the time to study what a doula does and then be ready when the opportunity arises to support women, especially black women who are struggling the most in maternity these days, be ready to support them with the knowledge of what it takes to be a doula. And we'll be right back after these messages. But think about those solutions, and I'm waiting for my guest to arrive. Leslie will share her knowledge as well about this topic. We'll be right back.
Do you want to live in a world without war? Join our global peace movement. Heavenly Culture World Peace Restoration of Light transcends culture, religion, ideology, and other boundaries to achieve peaceful harmony in the global society. HWPL is committed to bringing world peace and cessation of war through peaceful dialogue between religious groups. I am Director Shin-Suk Kim of the HWPL Chicago Branch of North America. Join us for our next gathering. Call 773-580-1501 and be a part of the movement for world peace. Email us at chicagohwpl@gmail.com.
Everything you need, what your body needs, is found in nature. So Susan Essentials doesn't do it any other way. Susan Essentials provides your employees
and individuals access to over 20,000 nutritional products, and they are shipped direct to your door. Because Susan Essentials is certified in plant-based healing, we're permitted to offer you the best nutritional supplements on the planet. They're non-GMO and sustainably produced, and we take the guesswork out for you. Let Susan Essentials help you take control of your health today.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is a result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
BMMA, and I think I might have an audio of them, but they started some activity in our government to present a bill and to get more solutions for this problem or this challenge that Black women have and the high death rate of Black women in maternity. As you heard from Jenny Joseph, if you missed Jenny Joseph, I have another one I want to play. She's an amazing, amazing soul who has taken on the task of creating a birthing center and creating education and knowledge for women, especially Black women, because she is a Black woman and she's a midwife. But she has created a birthing center in the Orlando area, and she's on TV. She's interviewing, talking about this problem and what are the solutions. More than anything, she talks solutions, but she presents the problem itself, which we all should be aware of. And I'm suggesting part of the solution is all of us can become doulas. And here is some information about Jenny being Woman of the Year, why she's Woman of the Year. We just heard an interview she did giving us the statistics and the information about becoming a midwife and why this issue is important. But here's one more short interview about Jenny being woman being a woman.
About self-determination, about empowerment. When a mother feels trusted, respected, listened to, she thrives.
Can I check the baby? Yeah, can I? All right.
Mm-hmm. Somebody, look at this. This is ridiculous. Somebody's foot right here. You want to feel?
Mm-hmm.
Come on in.
Yes, please.
Come feel.
Let
me get you a stool because you're little. Here. I'm going to get you up on here. You good?
Mm-hmm.
All right, feel that there. You feel the baby's foot?
Mm-hmm.
Feel the baby? Less than 10% of births are delivered by midwives in the United States. So we're a long way from being where we need to be, but we must bring midwifery back. Every other country in the entire rest of the world uses midwives as the providers for normal, healthy pregnancies and births.
you know, people are usually feel like it's more taboo to have birth in a birthing center than in a hospital. But for me, I never really had that feeling. I felt way more comfortable thinking about a birth center. Honestly, my husband had worked in a baby hospital for 7 or 8 years, and he was not impressed with the things that he saw. He felt like a lot of women were being kind of coerced into C-sections, and they weren't given time to labor. And I know with midwives, they give you time. They kind of let your body do your what you have to do. So that's really the main reason why I did it.
So and we call this the yellow room, obviously, but it's basically because it's so bright. And you see how the sunlight comes in? So we've got that real ambiance of bright and light, fresh.
Midwives can improve outcomes simply by doing what midwives do. We center the mother, baby, the family. We center the community. We make it our business to make sure we are providing respectful care, that we maintain that dignity. And in doing so, we're much more able to get information that we need. The people that are under that care are more compliant. The education that we share is more received.
So let's talk about pregnancy guidelines and requirements. Let's talk about this food avoidance list, because I know you guys see them, and we hand them out like hot candy, like eating hot candy.
Until we grow and diversify this midwifery workforce, we won't see the results that we're looking for.
I believe midwifery chose me. I organically grew into a doula. As I was having my children, people would ask me, can you come to my birth? You know, you're doing this natural birth thing, and I would feel more comfortable if you were here. So after attending births and hearing the mother's cries for help, witnessing the maternal injustice that happens to women here in America, I just felt like God was really tugging on my heart to answer this call. So.
For me, status quo is not acceptable. These statistics are not acceptable. These outcomes are horrendous and shocking, egregious. We know what works. We know how easy it is, in fact, how cost-effective it is to put in place. So that's what drives me. That's what drives us all. We want to see these disparities gone. We want to see all families having access to quality, safe care, and we want to make sure that all families thrive.
So the question today is there a maternal injustice in the Black community with Black women? Are Black women being treated differently? Is there racism? Well, on a recent blog talk show that I was on, a conversation came up about a facility being created in a city in the United States for Black women because of the high rate of maternal death. And this brother was saying it was against the law, that we shouldn't use public funds to create facilities for just one race. It was racist. And yet Jenny Joseph has created a birthing center for all women, but she does try and focus on Black women in her community because they are there. That's where she calls there's the maternal injustice. Is there a maternal injustice in the United States? Well, as Jenny Joseph, the highly honored woman of color, by the way, and she's been chosen among the women of the year by Time Magazine this year. As she pointed out, we have a problem in the United States that we're not using midwives like other countries are using. That is part of the problem, is that we have medicalized, as she says, birth. And this has been going on for some time. And so we want to bring solutions on this female solution broadcast, health and well-being. What are the solutions? Well, one of them is, as I said, all of us have a responsibility who understand, who have this knowledge of the statistics on the high rate of deaths among Black women. We all have a responsibility if we choose to become doulas. And that doesn't mean having a formal education or spending money, investing in a college degree or any formal education. what it means is educating ourselves about the support needs of women in the Black community. And we individually can make a difference. It's not so much that we need a new center, a new facility to educate women, but if each of us who are listening even now to this show understand the problem is that we've medicalized births in this country. As Jenny said, you don't have this high rate of deaths among Black women in other countries because most other countries use midwives in the process of helping a woman, supporting a woman in her pregnancy and giving birth. Probably the home birth rate in other countries is probably higher in other countries. It certainly looks like it's changing in this country. As I studied being a doula, I found two instances where women were giving birth at home. I had my first doula experience was in a hospital. The woman, I was called to relieve another doula, and I spent a good 6 hours in the hospital while she went and got some rest because the woman was in labor so long. And what I observed was a woman who was totally unprepared to give birth because what was she doing? On her phone while she was in labor. Instead of connecting to the baby, she was on her phone. She had her phone there texting people, I guess, telling them she was in labor, whatever. And I'm thinking, this woman's not prepared for this experience. So what were they doing? They were drugging her up. They were giving her, she could not handle the pain that she was going through. She could not handle the pain. And so what the only thing I felt like I could do was bring out my essential oils. I brought out my essential oils because I came in on this like 12 hours, after 12 hours of labor, this woman was exhausted. And she was like going to her phone for communication and relief. And I said, okay, let me just think, what can I do? While the other doula is taking a break, I said, how about, would you like to smell some essential oils? Sometimes, and she said, oh, yeah, yeah, yeah. So I bought out three essential oils for her to try, and she liked the peppermint. I think it was the peppermint really resonated with her best. So when her labor got really heavy, even though she was drugged up for pain, I was giving her, I was letting her inhale or smell the peppermint oil. And it was just such a beautiful thing to see on her face, a release of tension and stress as she inhaled the essential oils. So, and then when it came time for her to really push and the nurses and all the doctors, there were three nurses there ready to help her. She had been numbed to the hilt in her lower area because she could not take the contractions and the expansion of muscles. Birth can be a beautiful, beautiful experience for everyone involved when we're all conscious. You've got a room full of unconscious people, and all they're saying, oh, I'm hurting, I'm in pain, then they're going to ask for the drugs, and the drugs are readily available for any woman to get, especially when you're in a hospital. They're going to be ready to give you whatever drugs you need. And no one in that room was ready to say, let's just work on, you know, breathing and pushing and all that. No, no, no. They were ready to just give the drugs. And then when it came time to push, we were all there. I was on above her shoulder area. I think the other doula had showed up. There were two of us in the room coaching this woman just to push the baby out. So the one victory I can say, she did not have to have a C-section. She came out, the baby came out, blood and all. It was just an amazing experience. But my first witness of a birth in a hospital. Now, if you go and then she's all numbed up down there, so she was told, she just kept having here push, 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 push. Same baby came out, healthy baby, thank goodness. We were all there praying. I was just praying and sending love and energy to that baby. It's a two-party event. When a woman is giving birth, there's so many spiritual things about it as well. I hope when Leslie comes in, she can share more about the spiritual aspect of birth and abortions, all that. But there's just such a beautiful energy, that divine energy helping create this new birth experience in a woman. And if she's conscious, it can be a beautiful experience of overstanding and being aware that this process is a two-party process. That baby is just as anxious to come out of that space as you are to get that baby out. That's one of the things I tell women. that it's a partnership. When you start contracting and those muscles start spreading and growing, the baby is sending a message just as much as spirit is sending a message. And your consciousness can help the process go really well if you are connected to that baby, helping you breathe, helping you focus, helping you talk to the baby even. There's so many things that a doula can assist a woman with to make it a beautiful experience. And that's why I'm suggesting that one of the solutions to this high maternal death in the Black community is all of us who have a mind to help or support. Educate yourself on what you can say, what you can do for a woman, with a woman who has been impregnated by a seed and who is going to bring forth new life. That's one solution. All the other solutions to me pale in comparison. A facility, yeah, we need to educate the women, but if she doesn't have what Jenny Joseph calls respect, nourishment, and support, then that's what is the problem that we have with the low or the high maternal death in Black women in the Black community. So I'm asking your opinion. What do you think? Is there maternal injustice, what they call maternal injustice in the Black community that you're observing? What's your experience with that? And do you think you can educate yourselves a little? We're going to try and educate you today a little bit about what is a doula, what is her job? And you don't have to spend a lot of money. YouTube University is ready to educate us all on what it means to be a doula. And this, to me, is where we start solving the problem of high maternal deaths in the Black community. Okay, so we got a hand up in the studio. I'm waiting to hear from you, and I'm waiting for my guest, Leslie, to show up as well. I don't know if Leslie's in the studio. Press 1. And I'll open your mic, but I'm looking for her on my live stream as well. So let me go to, this looks like Kwame Sunhorse.
Grand Rising.
Your mic is open? Oh, sneeze time. Okay, sorry. Go ahead. Thank you for joining us this morning.
Zambofu Sume says, when you sneeze, it's the ancestors coming out, and you say thank you.
Thank you, thank you.
Right.
Yes, hallelujah.
And I think that's a very excellent suggestion as what is to be done, because Miriam Sims was the one who created OBGYN, and he did that with slave women. And then the process of men coming into that title and making money off of women's reproduction has been the thing of the patriarchal way. The thing that has happened ancestrally, always there was the grandmother, the doulas, the midwives. Those women trained other women, because who better knows the woman's body than the woman?
Right.
Who better knows how to, if she's reproduced, who better knows? And then that prepares the young women that are taught by the elder women how to be midwives and doulas, is to be able to pass on a cultural way of what women need to be overstanding, because then that gives them insight in what they're getting ready to do in producing. Because even when the conception comes, the African says, when does a child have its first earth day? And we must think of when she's born, when the child comes out of the woman. No, it's when the girl has the thought of a baby. You're conceived when the girl, because she already carries the eggs. So when the girl has the thought of the baby, and these are the processes and teaching to begin to look at how do we change the genocide that's going on within the Black community. And so I think it's a great idea, because I was the first child to be born in a colored hospital, but all of my mother's sisters, all of my grandmother's sisters, all was done by the midwives in the family. And so that is a losing art, and I'm grateful to see it's coming back, because even with the magical child, when they understood how that we did, that's why I even learned how to do Caesarean. They walked across the continent of Africa watching how intelligent and more intelligent our children were than the ones that were being born in Europe. So these are the teachings, because there's a certain communication, and I've watched three of my daughters give birth and two of my wives also give birth. And so it's a beautiful thing for a man to experience that, because the thing that you see in a woman producing that child that you two created is to be able to see what her body can do and what is the what it entails to bring that life in when it takes its first breath.
Now Kwame. Okay, so Kwame, you said that the thought is, it starts with the thought of the woman and all that.
The girl. I said the African says is when the girl has the thought of a baby, that is when the conception is planted, because she's already carrying eggs in her body. She has to be trained in how to use that time when it comes in her adolescence to be able to do that. But that thought is there, because when she was in the womb, she was already planted with the eggs that she was going to come out and produce when she became a woman.
Okay, so you're talking about a girl in puberty before she even is ready to have become pregnant. She has, when she has the thought, that's when it starts?
Thought, yeah, it's the thought is the conception, because when the young girl thinks, that's why we give, that's why you look at something. What do we give little girls now when they first come up? You give them dolls. You gave them dolls that didn't look like them until we started creating dolls that look like them. But you gave them dolls, because that's when you plant the seed in how they're going to raise or be a mother. That is
okay.
When you plant the seed.
Okay, so this girl has the thought. This process is spiritual, metaphysical, because that's an invisible element of the whole process. But then there's the boy and the man that comes into the picture. So I think we have to, when we talk about maternal health, I think a big part is, what is the male's, man's role? And there's a philosophy out there. Wait a minute. There's a philosophy out there that there's a 12-month process, not just 9 months, because there's 3 months in the father's body, in the father's DNA, that begins the process. The creator, the universe knows who the father is going to be of all seeds that come into a woman, right? So what, the father has a role just as much, I think, as the male, the woman. And that, I think that's part of the problem today with this maternal injustice, Black Maternal Health Week. We have this bare statistics of high death rate, maternity death. Where's daddy? Daddy's missing in action in a lot of these situations. And so it has to be talked about, the role of both part male, female. And what is missing here in this maternal injustice, patriarchal way?
And that's where rites of passage comes in with the young man and the woman. They're, when they come into that stage where they're going into adolescence, you add lessons of manhood and womanhood. That's why it's called adolescence. You add a lesson to that, then your body is getting ready to change. Your body is now going to be able to produce another one of you. And so what you're looking at is being able to guide them in being able to, that young man, and remove. That's why even in Jewish or in Africa, it was always that adolescence you were circumcised. You weren't circumcised at birth. You mix the message up when you remove the hood of the young, of the boy, when he comes out. That's traumatizing that child when you remove that hood. Instant pain when you come out into the world. That doesn't happen in our way.
So we asked the question earlier, do you think it's it's okay for public funds to be used. I was telling Sharon, I don't know if you heard me, I was sharing about a blog talk show I was on, LA's, just to say LA's is my house show. And a brother was upset because public funds were being used to create a facility for Black women to be educated, supported, whatever, in their maternity. And he thought that was, again, that should be illegal, that it's racist. And I'm just wondering what you think if public funds should be used for something like the part of the solution. It's part of the solution of maternal health.
We all have to pay taxes. It's not public funds. It's just it's recycling your own natural energy to yield a better result in our community. Those are our funds because we pay taxes in everything from buying something to working for someone. So why not reuse our money? Because the wealthy will create funds and centers and places of high quality using our money.
So that's one vote for funds, taxpayer funds, to be used to create a part of a solution to the high maternity deaths in the Black community. We're going to come right back after this message, after these messages, and share what it means to be a doula. Because as I shared, Jenny Joseph is a midwife, and she trains doulas. That's part of her solution, is her birth center in Orlando trains doulas. I was one of them, and that's her business, and she gets totally stressed out. I gave her a whole bottle of essential oil one day. We had a meeting at her place. I said, you need to chill and get some essential oils in your brain because she's overworking. But it's almost like this is her calling, definitely her calling. She's articulate, she's passionate, and she's experienced. Almost 40 years, I think, as a midwife, and she knows what the solutions are. She's working for them. So say a prayer for Jenny Joseph when you think about it. But she's got the solutions at her center in Orlando, and I'm just grateful to be a small, small part of it. We'll be right back after these messages where we all are going to listen to what it means to be a doula, because I think that even the men, especially the men, because I think if a pregnant woman gets doula help from a male, and especially if the father is not around, that's going to do miles and miles of healing and support for her. But let's talk about that when we come back.
The Female Solution Global Radio TV Show invites you to an invigorating conversation with our team of hosts Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. Central Time. Start your week with Monday Morning Mindfulness with Zelda Speaks. Tuesdays, Self-Care with Jody Susan. Wednesdays, Repairing Broken Families with Naima Latif and co-host Kareem Hamid. Thursdays, Soulful Solutions with Dr. Debbie Green. And Fridays, Health and Well-Being with Beata. Saturdays, tune in 12 noon to 2 p.m. Central Time. First Saturday, Success Strategies with Jana. Second Saturday, Wendy Williams Esquire on Relationships. Third Saturday, Move Around with Deborah. And fourth Saturday, Wisdom with Mama D. Join us Sundays, 7 p.m. to 9 p.m. Central Time for Soul Purpose Healing with Beata. Call in and comment 515-605-9325. Press 1 to speak to the host and be a part of the solution.
Do you worry about finances, family, health, job, relationships? Are you in pain? Do you feel stuck? If you answered yes to any of these questions, help is available. Don't worry, you're not alone. It's part of the human process. You only feel this way because you haven't mastered the voices in your head. No hype, just down-to-earth, solid, workable tools and techniques that you can practice daily. It's really food for the soul. Whether you want to learn how not to worry about anything, reverse type 2 diabetes, publish a book, promote your product or service, or just make extra money. To take advantage of the deal of the day, go to ZeldaSpeaks.com or call 312-409-6619. Mention promo code The Female Solution and get free shipping. That's ZeldaSpeaks.com or 312-409-6619. Stop worrying today. visit ZeldaSpeaks.com.
This is Minister Cynthia Marie Williams, spiritual counselor and advisor. I invite you to a private reading in the areas of business, health, finances, relationships. My introductory cost of $20. Please call because there is a higher power that can help me help you. 312-802-4743. Peace and blessings to you all. Call me. 312-802-4743.
Health and well-being with Beata. I have over 30 years experience in the holistic health field, and every day I learn something new because we are in such a period of high technology, and that with the help of Kwame and other knowledgeable astrologists, I'm connecting with the cosmos above my head more than ever. And so I realize how important it is for us to understand the planetary shifts and movements in everyday life. So we're talking this week. This is a week of even unusual planetary activity. And there's a full moon today, tonight. So take advantage of clean out those parasites tonight and this next couple of days. And so we're talking about Black maternal health. This week, no accident that this is very appropriate to talk about it with the planetary shifts and all that and the new moon and birthing and all that. So we want to talk to you. We want to know your beliefs and your understanding of maternal injustice. Is there maternal injustice, or is it as Jenny Joseph shared, the midwife who's been voted Female of the Year or Female of the Year in the magazine Life, that we have a problem with midwifery in this country. We have medicalized births. And as Kwame shared, and I have another caller, Mama Zim, open up your mind. We have medicalized births over many years, and there was a man who even started obstetrics and gynecology, experimenting on slave women and all that. So we've had this long history of a lack of wisdom, if for no better word, lack of wisdom. And so women, more and more women, have trusted the medical system versus looking for doulas and midwives to assist and support them in this natural process of carrying a child for 9 months and birthing. So natural, and yet the medical system, the mafia pharmaceutical industry, has medicalized it to the point that we have a crisis now with Black women dying at a much, much higher rate in their pregnancy than other women, women of other races. So let me open the mic for Mama AC. If you have a question or comment, press 1 to hear from you. And I'm waiting for my guest, Leslie Hurd, who will talk more about her role as a doula for women who have are going through abortions, miscarriages. Okay, Mama AZ, you're on.
Grand Rising, can you hear me?
Yes, ma'am.
Greetings, family, and I am so grateful to my mom. I give the honor and the blessings to my mom for even allowing me to come here to be on this planet with all of you, family. Greetings, Brother Kwame. I love you so much, Dr. V, Brother Kwame, everybody. I just love you. You have made this journey a whole lot easier because it's interesting. Now, what I want to ask, Brother Kwame, you said that when we're in the womb of our moms, we have the seed within us to bring forth. What about the ones that cannot have children, that do not have children, what is that about? That came to me when you said we have the seeds already in us when we're in the womb. What's that about? Holy women, meaning women of color, within the Baha'i faith, we're called the pupil of the Adas, Poti women. I'd like for you to get used to that terminology. Anyway, do we choose to come to the planet, Dr. V, and have these experiences with women of color, Poti women, having more issues with childbirthing than any other? Are we choosing this too?
Good question. Kwame, go ahead.
And Grand Rising, Mama AZ, what I'm sharing when I say that the person is body is receiving the eggs and the reproductive parts of themselves when they're in the womb, then they come onto the planet. Basically, most young women go through the cycle of menses. And that's the part of her body being able to have that ability to release those eggs. But the part of it was there damage to her reproductive organs? And those choices that some people choose not to bring forth that child into the world. The body is given what it needs to reproduce itself. It's the individuals and the creator that allows them to reproduce or not to reproduce. That's the part it is. It's already conceived, because when you're in the womb developing, you're put the epigenetics, the mitochondria is passed on into you. So that man has developed that part of his body that will develop those testosterones in his testicle cycle. These are parts of the body that will work. What happens to it when it comes onto the planet is where the thing that I think you're asking about.
I had to mute Mama AZ's mic because there's too many echoes, but Mama AZ, I'll come back to you after I go to this next caller. Thank you, Kwame. I think you're right about that. The experience we have on this planet, as I was reading in a meditation, we're all like snowflakes. And that's not to say anything negative. It's like we're all very, very different. Every snowflake is different is what this meditation was saying. And we're all snowflakes. And so our experience dropping in as a snowflake in our mother's womb or in this earth environment is just amazingly diverse in our journey. So 779-801, your mic is open. What sayest thou?
Greetings, Grand Rising. This is Maika. Thank you for this show.
Thank you, my
and
sister.
I agree with you. Every woman should be studying to be a doula. And yes. Not only
and
that,
how about
we have
me,
to study.
Maika, what about the man?
Them too. Everybody should be involved.
Yeah.
But women in particular need to learn how their bodies work. And that's what's missing. There's no knowledge about to given to future mothers. You know, we have to have a Future Mothers of America class, like, where they learn everything about their bodies, about their menses, about being fertile, what fertility is. I found that so many women, as I was writing my books on fertility, they're afraid of fertility. They run from the name fertility, that they're fertile. They don't like that. But it's what it is. If you are fertile, you're fertile. You have to accept what is. You can't go around acting, I don't like this. I don't want to be fertile. Women do that kind of stuff. But you got to stop doing that and be real. Ground themselves and learn how to accept reality for what it is. And then work within the confines of reality. Trying to jump outside of it, make something else that ain't real. And I had two midwife births, because on my first one, And they were absolutely awesome, both of them. The second one, well, the first one was in a community. The second one I had.
We lost you a minute. Maika, are you there?
I'm here.
Oh, okay, go ahead.
I was talking about my births, my midwife births.
Okay.
Which were two. The first one, I had two Native American midwives and a European midwife, and that was just an awesome birth. And the second one, I had an African American midwife. And it's so interesting with all of them, you know, they were willing to do it, but they realized that it was unlawful and they could get locked up for doing it. And so, but they were willing to do what they were doing because I insisted that that's the kind of birth that I wanted. So it was a wonderful experience, and I didn't chase all the midwives underground, just like they did the farm workers, the migrant workers. You know, there's a problem going on out here in terms of naturalness and just taking away, even during COVID, you know, there was such a need for midwives during COVID. Because these women who were pregnant, they didn't need to be going into no hospital with all those viruses being spread in the hospital and what have you. They needed a midwife to be able to come to their homes and help them out. But then that takes courage, too. It takes courage for your body, because my second midwife, she told me, she said, now you know if something happens, it's on you because you reap what you sow. She said, I'm just an assistant. I said, girl, what? I called you at 9 months. Of course I know that it's on me. I reap what I sow. You know, I would never blame you for anything that would happen as a result of this birthing. And it was just a fabulous birthing. So anyway.
That's so true. That's a bold and truthful statement that she would make. It's on you. Because it's on you from day one. You know, even allowing this man to enter in your body and plant a seed, it's on you, sister. But you know, to call someone in at the ninth month, at least there's some consciousness rose up in you to say, hey, I need some help here and I don't want to go to the medical. And even during the COVID, they were banning doulas and midwives from going in the hospital with women who were giving birth.
Oh, wow. I can see that.
So it was a really crazy twilight zone, it highlighted the era of this whole medical mafia system more than ever. Now, have you heard of this group called Black Mamas Matter Alliance, Maika?
I think I've heard of them, but I didn't really do any research on them. It just passed by me, but it's
saw a video, I watched a video yesterday of co-founders of this group. Oh my goodness, she was obese too. She was extremely obese, but I was trying to just pay attention to what she was saying. So I got distracted when she was bringing a message about Black Mamas Matter Alliance, and she's like this obese Black woman telling me about, you know, the health of Black women having birth. And I was like, okay, well, I listened. And that's the organization that's getting funding and promoting laws and changes in Washington to help Black women. So I'm kind of skeptical about, you know, it's like Black Lives Matter. You know, they turned out to be some of the most corrupt individuals on the planet.
Right.
So, we need another organization like Black Mamas Matter Alliance. Or do we need to just all be taking personal responsibility in our communities? Where is the community support? Where is the community consciousness?
Well, I agree with you. We have to take personal responsibility and then come together as a group. Thank you. And then come together, you know, each individual who's taking personal responsibility, and that becomes a collective. But it has to start with the individual. Everything has to start with the individual making conscious, intelligent choices about their health and their well-being. That's what it's about. And we can do it because women have to escalate. We have to upgrade because right now the only thing on the book that women have achieved since the Civil Rights Movement the Civil Rights Act of 1964 is Roe versus Wade. That's a I mean, your right to kill your unborn baby, that's not really a highlight. But that's all we were so-called, that's the only thing on the book that women collectively have gone after. But we have to go after preparing our young women to know themselves as physical beings and love themselves also. Because a lot of women don't like themselves. And that's why they go after men so adamantly, because they find their identity in their relationship with a man. But your identity has to be found in yourself, not in something or someone external to you. So there's a lot of lessons that have to be taught. And we can't just wait for the schools to teach. This stuff has to be taught in the homes.
Yes, that's why we're doing this show starting today, teaching each one of us what we need to be doing to become doulas in our community. Forget about Washington, D.C. This is the most broken government, I think, in the history of my life. Is that what they are doing? I don't know if people realize this. The Pentagon is sending troops and military support to the Ukraine. So when you hear about anything going on between Ukraine and Russia, just X out Ukraine and put United States in there. So all talking about our tax money shouldn't go to facilities to help black women who are dying in the 10 times more than white. Shut up. Sit down and shut up. Instead, and then I'm not going to slap anybody. I've gotten out of time. I've sent love and light to people who talk like that. When all this, we are allowing this broken, psychopathic, warmongering government to go over in another country and kill people. And we don't want to spend money to produce facilities to help women, a particular group of women in this country who are so caught up in this medicalizing of birth. Ooh, we got a lot of work to do. But here's a little education.
No, Beata, you can't say they won't give money to that. It has to be advanced. You have to advance the proposition and the proposal first. And then determine, then you have to see whether or not that is done. But you can't say they don't, but that you got to put your motion on the floor.
Right.
And your motion is, it has to be second, and then it can carry through. Women will come together and agree. And it's not just black women, it's all women, really, but we have to take into account the miseducation of black people. So as a result, that creates a greater problem.
Absolutely. Very well said, my sister. The miseducation of black folks, because we have bought into the government's propaganda and the system of let me help you, instead of forming our own community support and teaching midwifery and doulas in the community and leaving the mafia medical pharmaceutical system out of the picture. So starting today, we're going to hear about how to become doulas and midwives. So here's a little clip I found about doulas deliver support. And so we can begin to think about the simple role that doulas can play in their own
community. Ideally what we're going to do in the hospital is we'll get the pillows and then we'll lift up the bed.
Okay.
But this is actually too,
A doula is someone who is trained to be with pregnant women. They are trained to provide physical, emotional, educational support. We help the clients speak for themselves, helping them find their voice so that they could advocate for themselves and say, I'm not going to allow this. You're not going to treat me with disrespect and abuse.
It's work for you and baby.
Right.
So what you're doing by going up the stairs sideways is you're opening up your pelvis.
The doulas that I have, they're both black women and are really trying to change the conversation around black maternal health. So it's very reassuring to know that their concerns are the same as mine, and they've studied and done way more research than I have, and knowing that they are like, no, put my foot down, you don't have to do this, this is what this means.
Right, and that counter pressure helps relieve a little bit of that intensity of that pain, right?
It's such a relief that they are really going to be advocates for me, my baby, my delivery, my health, everything.
black woman in childbirth who is highly educated, who also has high income, and who lives in a great neighborhood in New York City is still more likely to die than white women who live in poorer neighborhoods and across New York City. Nationally, there are between 700 and 900 women each year who die in childbirth, and about 100 times that almost die in childbirth. When you think of having a baby, you should be thriving. It should not be, whew, I barely made it, thank goodness. And for black women, when we're at 3 times to 4 times the rate of dying in childbirth, that number becomes really important to think about. The U.S. is the only industrialized nation where maternal mortality is increasing. Other places like the U.K. or like China even, right? So places that have not necessarily the same freedoms we have, but they have a robust economy, they have better birth outcomes than we do. And part of the reason they have those things is because they've built a social infrastructure. So women have access to paid leave, for women to have access to child care, for men to have paternity leave. All the things that you would need to support a healthy birth, they've built into their societies. So although we spend more per capita for health care than any other country in the world, we don't get the benefit of that spend because we've not created a system outside of just a doctor's visit, that transaction that supports health, all the social infrastructure that you really need to be healthy, we don't invest in.
Over the last decade, the maternal mortality rate in New York State has gone up by 60%. And it's particularly bad right here in New York City, where black women are estimated to be 12 times more likely than white women to die in childbirth because of complications.
If you're worried about finances, if you have housing insecurity, if you have all these other things that are going on in the back of your mind, plus compounded with the fact that you're pregnant and you're carrying another living human being inside of you, come on. And that weighs on a person. That weighs on their body. That weighs on their spirit. I think that this work is especially important because we act as a defense system.
Thank you, Senator.
Thank you.
As a black woman and a mother of 6 children, the ways in which we are cared for lies within the intersections of our lived experiences and racism and access to culturally humble care. In order for us to truly have equitable care, it will take all of us, providers, patients, community, challenging years of institutional racism and personal biases that we have all learned.
What we see from the data is the stress of racism on their bodies, the interactions that happen inside the system, the not being heard or listened to. Like those moments of people having to advocate for their lives is causing them to die at a higher rate than white women.
So community-based doula work is extremely important because we're working with marginalized communities, right? So marginalized communities that don't have the resources to pay for doula care because doula care isn't covered by insurance. My philosophy is all women deserve to have a doula regardless of their economic situation. Every woman should have a doula. It needs to be accessible, right? And so really pouring resources into community doula programs that exist, right, that are training more doulas of color to do this work, but also providing the funding so that these doulas can have a livable wage. And that's kind of like the challenge with community doulas. They want to help, you know what I mean, but they also like, I live in New York City and I have to pay my high rent.
So welcome to Ancient Song Doula Services Full Spectrum Doula Training. Over the course of the next 7 weeks, you have me all to yourself.
Traditionally, in indigenous communities and communities of people of African descent, we've always had these individuals who were the pillars within our communities who assisted us in our reproductive health. And when I first started this work, I realized that I would go to workshops and to other trainings, and I'd be the only person of color in the room.
Why is support even important, right? Why are you here, right? Because ultimately, you're here to do what?
Support.
Say it again.
Support.
Say it again.
Support.
Say it again.
Support.
Say it again.
Support.
I got tired of being in places where I always had to explain myself, like, oh, you know, I'm talking about maternal mortality because I see
it. Voice to advocate for yourself and or someone else, All right?
And so, yes,
Black doulas need to be in the room. We already know what it feels like to not be listened to. And sometimes even the doula who's in the room is not being listened to. Regardless of who you are, when you have melanin in your skin and people can see it, you've experienced something on some level. And so I see, one, the doula as someone who's reclaiming their ancestral roots, but then two, as this reproductive justice, birth justice fighter, fighting for the basic human right to birth your children the way you want to, in a way that's safe and affirming to you. It's interesting to see the person's reaction when you ask them, like, how do you envision your care going? And they're like, well, yeah, you know, like how it normally goes, you know? And I'm like, no, but what do you see for yourself? Like, what do you want? And a lot of times I'm met with, like, oh, no one's asked me, like, what do I want? We do more research when we getting ready to go to dinner. When it comes to your health care, you get the recommendation off of, oh, well, my insurance says I can go here.
Okay. Now we're just going to go into labor. So do you remember, like, some signs of labor?
Contractions.
Confetti?
Comes out the sky, going to labor.
My first pregnancy was completely normal. I had a private practice doctor who was wonderful, loved her a lot. But this time I have another wonderful Black OB, but she's in a general practice. So I don't know exactly who's going to deliver me. I just get very iffy about just people jumping in and saying, oh, we should do this, we should do this, because it's like, Why are we running these tests? Why are we doing this? I understand it's protocol, but is it necessary? Can we just try the old-fashioned way first and see what happens?
But like usually when the baby's coming, and have you talked about delayed cord planting with your provider?
No.
Okay. You want to make sure
this time around, I just felt like I needed that support. I wanted an advocate. I wanted someone who I can just text, hey, I'm feeling this way. What is this? Is this okay? What teas can I drink? Is there anything I can do to kind of help this process instead of just everything being like, here's a prescription. Take this. You're fine. Because maybe I'm not.
You know, okay. So this is a blend and it's called Anxiety Ease.
Sounds about right.
Being a doula is my divine work. I've been doing this for 19 years. And there's nothing like going to a birth and watching a baby be born. I get so excited because I am going to witness a woman push out a baby into this world and her becoming a mom. It's amazing to see, especially when their wishes are heard and they're honored. It's just like, yes!
Hallelujah. I love that that woman's attitude and passion. When we come back from our last break, I would love all of you to participate in how we can develop in our new healthcare system, coming out of the sick care system that has medicalized birth. That's part of the sick care system. We have medicalized birth, a process that's been going on for hundreds of years, and we've medicalized it for profit. How can we begin to educate our youth to become doctors, but become doulas and midwives? That's what I think the biggest solution comes in realizing what Jenny Joseph said about the need for midwifery in the United States, especially because all of other countries are already using midwives for birthing babies more than the United States. So the problem here in the United States is too much dependence on the medicalized birth system versus educating our youth. Instead of, oh, I want to be a doctor, I want to grow up and be a doctor and make a lot of money. No, let's direct our children, our youth into how about thinking about solving a major problem in this country and how about you study to be a midwife instead? Probably less money. I mean, you might have to save some money, but there might be grants out there and who knows what kind of funding is available. But I'm suggesting we start directing these youth not into the medical schools that are totally programmed to comply with their pharmaceutical business, but we start directing our elementary school students even into becoming midwives and doulas and other like chiropractic physicians. So let's talk about that when we come back. I think it's so crucial at this point that we start re-educating our youth.
Oh, man. God sent the monthly sun bill today. This sunlight is really expensive, especially during this season. I'll probably have to work overtime to pay it.
Well, you better pay it on time. We don't want the sun to go out and we're sitting up here all day in the dark.
Wouldn't it be terrible if God charged us for sunlight? Well, thank God, the light and heat from the sun is free. So why are we paying such high bills for the energy we use in our homes? Because we don't know how to use solar energy, the free energy from the sun. You can convert your regular home to a solar energy home and save tremendously on your electric bill. Take a look at your electric bill. Wouldn't you like to reduce or possibly even eliminate that cost altogether? Let one of our solar consultants show you how. Call today, 312-849-3456, and schedule a free consultation. That's 312-849-3456.
Are you constantly arguing with your spouse? Are your children misbehaving and acting out? Is someone in your family abusing drugs? Have you been the victim of domestic violence? Are you grieving over the loss of a loved one? Let us help you restore serenity to your life. At Serenity Family Social Services, we understand that good mental health is the result of emotional well-being. Our goal is to assist you and your family in removing emotional distress and restoring harmony and balance to your lives. We offer individual, couples, and family counseling. I'm Howard Williams, CEO of Serenity Family Social Services. Call us today at 312-315-4820. That's 312-315-4820.
Heard is a doula, and she's the counselor with the Soul Babies, the spiritual side of abortion and miscarriage. So waiting for her to show up, but if not, I always have a backup of audios and people like those of you in the studio who are ready to share your journey and teach. All of us are teachers. I think that's one of the things going forward as we change this medicalizing birth system, that all of us are teachers. If we are ready to share our positive, changing, healing experience, we can all teach one. And we become students when we're ready to listen. So I'm ready to listen and be a student in the studio who want to share your journey and that we can grow from and begin to think about this new healthcare system, an overground railroad, all the things that would take us out of the last 2 year twilight zone that we've been in. We've got a caller. I don't think I've opened. 207-717, your mic is open. Are you there? You pressed 1. 207-717.
I don't know why it's open. Sorry. I'm sorry.
Oh, you're just listening?
Yes.
Okay. All right. Thank you for calling in and listening. So, Maika. Let me get back to you. What did you think about that doula presentation and how we can pass on that passion and truth about helping women? Kwame sent me a word, delivering our universal assist algorithm or whatever you call it, delivering our universal assistant or assistance for doula, D-O-U-L-A. Is that right? Delivering our universal assistance. Where's the L in there? Doula. D-O-U-L. I don't know where the L is. But, yeah, this is about a universal truth that, love. delivering our universal love assistance. I would say not assistant, but assistance. Either way, delivering our universal love assistance. That's G-O-U-L-A. So, Maika, what are your thoughts on how we begin to deliver this new system of love and to women who choose to carry a new birth, a new life in them? Maika, are you still there? Are you on mute? Okay, people are on mute maybe. Well, Kwame, you brought up the idea of delivering our universe. Why is it a universe? Why do you think it's a universal love assistance?
The universe is what's above us. That's why it's the Overground Railroad. The universe is above us. We are in the universe. This planet is a part of the universe. And being able to connect ourselves back to our universal oneness, the creator, the source who gives the conception life. And so when we begin to understand how we reconnect back to our universal oneness, our connection to Mother Ina Maka, Mother Earth delivers new trees and new plants every day. Delivers new plants and trees every day out of the soil of its own living being. And so what we're doing is that we're recreating back to our original way, is because that mother, that female tree that drops and pollinates the seed and drops it into the earth, it grows. And so what we're needing to know is how to grow our reproductive humans. How do we grow our reproductive humans? And it's using that, you know, and who would better know that than the woman? And the woman is the matriarchal, because she is the life source. And once we began to saying that we want to create this new system of wellness and wholeness, we look to who produces us and who better knows how to work with her body and work with another woman's body than another woman. So these are the teachings that we have.
So I'm going to introduce you to becoming a midwife. And everything Kwame said is so relevant, but I also think men can become midwives too if they have that feminine energy and consciousness of the universal influence that a midwife has.
Hey. Hi. How you doing? You a little sidelined a little bit?
Assessment starts when the mom walks in the door. It is important to lock eye and eye, look at how their gait is, look at the relationship between whoever they brought with them, how are they doing. Relationship building is very important.
Hello.
The definition of a midwife, it means with woman. As a midwife, I provide prenatal care, labor and delivery, and postpartum care. I was attending Brown University. I wanted to be an obstetrician. And one day I was seen in a clinic by a midwife. And I was like, oh, they still have those? That's what I am. And so I went to pursue how to become a midwife. I went to a midwifery school for 3 years, and after you get the academic part down, you have to apprentice with a midwife that is licensed in that state. So it was about 10 years in that I was ready to have my own practice. So what do you think it is, Ma?
Girl. Oh, I think it's a boy, but she thinks it's a girl.
Head is still down. Back is over here. So you feel kicking over here? Yeah. I have 4 children, 2 girls and 2 boys. They were all born at home.
And my second daughter had just finished high school and was getting ready to go to college, and she had a pain in her back, and, you know, I'm thinking, oh, you're dehydrated, drink some water. Long story short, it was stage 4 cancer, and from diagnosis to death was 10 months. And one of the things that she said was, you need to open up a birth center. I went through it because it was her request from me, but what she did was open my, she expanded my life by having a birth center. From the very beginning, I see my mom about every 2 weeks. Especially my first time mom.
How's baby moving?
Oh my God, I swear he's feeling like the worm in there or something, because it's like...
The birth happened on the first floor. I live up on the second and third floor. And April was my busiest month. I had 17 births. And I had 2 going on at one time, but I never had 3. But I'm prepared if that happens.
Look, I'm stopping because I'm dizzy. We have a good old time up in here.
When I opened up the birth center, I was like, okay, I have to make a community, because our families generally are the only ones that are having an out-of-hospital birth. Their friends are all going to the hospital, and they're saying, oh, why are you doing that, blah, blah, blah. There's not a space where they come, and so that's what I created.
Being a physician, was it as personal of an experience as having a midwife, and namely, you know, Mama Fua? The physician didn't see me nearly as often, and no matter what my wishes were, you could feel the pushing of certain processes and certain medications.
When I went to the doctor, and I was going over options about delayed cord cutting,
right,
and all these natural things. She gave me the, what is that? And no, we don't do that. It's their way.
Yes.
And that's fine. I'm a registered nurse, so I understand. You know, it has to be done a certain way. So that's why I started looking for other options, because when I came here, I felt hurt. I love the hospital because I think it's there for it. If something goes wrong,
right,
you need to be there.
Right.
In a natural birth where you're not having any problems or anything like that, your body's going to do whatever it needs to do.
And your body rocks that baby out. It rocked him out.
The most important lesson that I've learned is that it's very important to listen to your clients, because what I say on my initial consultation to the mom, you're the captain, that your partner is the co-captain, and I'm the advisor. And so even though I've been a midwife for 35 years, the baby is not inside of me. The baby is inside of you. And so you know more about that baby than I know. It's a team that we have going on.
You're not happy. You're not happy. You okay. You okay. Yeah, so this almost says 8, so we're good. Mm-hmm.
What is important to me is not just, okay, they had their baby, but how's the breastfeeding going? How are they assimilating to life after the baby comes out?
The blood pressure is great. It's 100 over 60. Any headaches?
Mm-mm.
Nope, you've been pooping?
Yeah.
Every day? You poop every day. Twice a day? Oh, okay. That's good. That's good. How's your appetite?
I'm hungry all the time.
I'm an advocate that young midwives work with other midwives for a long period of time, because we deal with life and death, okay? And we all hope that at the end of the process that you have a baby and you have a mom. But sometimes situations happen where you need to be experienced in what it is that you are doing.
When I met Afua, it was like, oh my God,
this is such a personable way to connect to women, to walk women through this journey of pregnancy. And she built a community. She has all these women come together to embrace pregnancy and to learn, you know, how to take charge of their bodies and know their bodies. And that doesn't always happen in the medical field.
Here comes one.
Okay.
Here comes one.
Push your leg. Push your leg. Push. You push. That's it. That's it. Here it comes.
Yeah. There we go.
Okay.
Oh, hi. Hi. Welcome.
Okay.
Birth is very empowering. You went through something that people tell you you can't do. Like, oh, you're going to need that pain medicine. You're going to... Oh, you're going to rip from here to there. And when you get to a point in your life where it is difficult, you're like, oh, I made it through that, and I'll be able to make it through this too. Because when my daughter got diagnosed with cancer, I was like, how are you going to get through that? Like, what? And I was able to say, but you pushed out 4 babies at home. You're going to get through it. And I did.
Okay, great. Ah! And the pregnant women, help me out.
I love what I do. I hope that everybody gets to find the profession that they like to do, because in the middle of the night when I'm dead asleep and I get the phone call, I'm not like, oh, snap, I got to go to work. It's like, oh, hey, how you doing? And they ask me, do you ever sleep? I said, who wants to hear their midwife? Hey, hello, what's wrong? You don't want to hear that. You want to hear that I'm as excited as you are.
How are you?
Every birth is a miracle, and it doesn't get old. And so, for me, it's new every time, and the energy is fantastic. And so I'm blessed.
As I was listening to her story, I realized how spiritual the process of midwifery, doula, maternity is. Because what did she say in the beginning? It's all about relationship building. So if you, as Kwame pointed out, the delivering our universal love assistance, it's a relationship first and foremost with yourself and your creator and spirit. If you have a really close relationship with spirit, yourself, your body, your mind, your consciousness, then you might have the desire to help other women develop that same relationship. Remember, it's relationship building with women in this case. And men have to be involved. This is not a female thing only. Men need to be involved with that relationship building with women who are going to have labor and delivering postpartum. Because as she pointed out, it's about listening. And we all need to practice better listening. Let's see. I thought I had saw a hand up. Oh, yeah. We got a hand up. We got about 5 minutes left. So 773-366, your mic is open. Give us your name. Where are you calling from?
Hey, Grand Rising. It's Naima calling from Chicago. Yeah, I'm back on my
number in my mind.
Yeah, this is my business line. I'm back home now. I went for a run and feeling great after that joint rolling workout. So, yes, I wanted to, let our audience know that we'll be launching the New Earth Online Academy in May, and our first class is Parenting with Peace, and one of the sessions is Preparing for Conception. And I'm going to, of course, be, as we record these videos, getting my female solution sisters involved and sharing their wisdom, because as has been said earlier, and what Maika was talking about, and your other callers, in terms of our bodies being naturally ready to give birth, but we have to be of the mindset to take control of that and be in the right spirit when it happens, when we're in the process of that spiritual energy exchange. And we also need to know how our bodies work, our cycles, so that we can take control of the process from the very beginning. So that'll be part of the lessons, and look for it. We'll be launching its New Earth Homeschool Academy, and you'll be able to see it online. And those who are fertile, as Maika says, need to be preparing themselves for that process and taking control of it so that they can bring a soul through this earth experience peacefully from beginning all the way to the end. And we are looking forward to teaching that and sharing all the wisdom with our sisters who have been so instrumental in raising consciousness. I'm excited. I'm excited about the school and the lessons to be taught to women and men who, as we've said, all need to participate in this, because we're basically looking forward to shaping life differently. And that means we have to start at the beginning and know the process. And then, of course, in the class, we'll be taking you through all the way from conception to when they get ready to leave your house at age 18, or even if they don't leave your house, but preparing them for that responsible adulthood. So each lesson in that particular class, Parenting with Peace, will guide mothers and fathers through the process of bringing forth and guiding a soul through this earth journey peacefully so that they can then share the peace within. Thank you, Beata, for giving me time to talk.
that's so beautiful, because that is like the conclusion of this Black Maternal Health Week. It starts with re-educating our youth, first of all, and women who are ready to be students, who have been in the struggle and the suffering of having this medicalized birth system influencing them more than doulas and midwives. And we're pointing out today that part of the solution, number one, as Naima pointed out, is re-education. We got to have a New Earth Homeschool Academy. That's one of the best resolutions that we can think about for this medicalized birth system we've all been under. And then we can think about becoming doulas and midwives instead of doctors and nurses. Because we don't need to be under the influence of the pharmaceutical industry. And that's what my doctors and nurses are trained to do, be under the influence of the big pharma mafia. And so if we can shift our thinking more of developing our own academies and training to become midwives and doulas where there is no pharmaceutical influence. And that's why they're suppressing this information, because they don't want midwives and doulas to rise up and take over the Black community's maternal health problems. They want you to stay in the system. So hallelujah. Thank you, Naima, for that update. And we look forward to that. Which time for... And it's funny, we were going to talk
We've come to the end of our show today, but you can hear every show in the archives at www.blogtalkradio.com/the-female-solution. You can also hear today's show on the Female Solution Facebook page. Go to www.facebook.com/the-female-solution. Leave your comments about today's show. You can always reach me on my website at www.naimalatif.com. That's www.naimalatif.com. Watch our TV shows, listen to our radio shows, order our books, and be sure to get your copy of the book, The Female Solution. On behalf of our team of radio hosts, I'd like to thank all of you who participated in today's discussion. And to our global family listening from all around the world, thank you.
In our reality,
to our family in China,
everybody,
India,
Zanyaba.
Japan, Arigato, Korea, Kamsahamnida, Russia, Spasiba, Germany, Danke, Poland, Jeonkunyeong, France, Merci. Spain, gracias. Italy, grazie. Egypt, shukran. Ghana, merci. Nigeria, eshe. South Africa, ngiyabonga. Senegal, jeret. Kenya, asante. Israel, toda. Pakistan, shukriya. Afghanistan, Tashakur, Saudi Arabia, Shukran.
Shukran.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuhu. Thank you. And may peace be upon you and the mercy of God and
love
God's
you.
Blessings.
Thank you so much.